B-Pod Studios.
This is Checkpoint XP.
Esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
What type of arcade gamer are you? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the sports hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today over at CheckpointXP.com. We just got out of the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. I know I enjoyed my holiday weekend. I was sick for about half of it, but I was able to enjoy the other half. Norris, what did you do?
I went out of town, went to my girlfriend's family, but it was pretty chill, man. Nothing special.
Robbie, what about you?
I'm actually in the same boat as you are, man. I was sick for most of it.
Just trying to recover?
Yeah, got some family
time. Lots of orange juice?
Yeah, but you actually use the sickness as a way to get out of the family time.
Clever. You and me.
Yeah, that's
right.
Smart.
But Rick, you and I, we were talking about what you were doing over the holiday break, and it actually kind of knocked an idea loose.
Yeah, so I actually spent quite a bit of time at a Dave & Buster's in South Carolina.
So
why?
First,
oh my God,
first question, why?
Because I like playing arcade games, and I think that's what started all this. I went with my girlfriend and I, and we discovered that there's two kinds of players for arcade games. There's either somebody who, like my girlfriend, takes all their tokens and they go and play a spattering of as many different games as they can, whether they're good at them or not. They just like having a good time.
Sure, yeah.
And then there's somebody like me who takes all of my tokens, I put them in a cup, and I go sit in like one machine, House of the Dead, Time Crisis 3, whatever I'm going to play, and that's what I play. I go there to play games.
So you have the retired geriatric cigarette-y old lady in Vegas sort of strategy when it comes to the arcade.
Correct. That's my machine. Don't you dare touch it.
So, well, but wait a minute. But part of the fun and the communal enjoyment of the arcade is that, like, everyone gets a chance at the machine. Like, if you're sitting in front of the, you know, House of the Dead machine for 2.5 hours...
When's Timmy get his
turn? Exactly!
No, first of all, that is a lie. When you go to the arcade, it's about, I am getting the longest game for this quarter as I am possibly getting. Flat out. That's my machine.
Then you're playing Gauntlet.
No, I'm not playing Gauntlet. I'm playing Street Fighter. All right, I'm getting.
Well, hold on, that doesn't make sense, because when we were at Vegas last time, you played Street Fighter and only got about two fighters in before Dulcine.
It's true, because I
handed you.
First of all, it's because I was not focused. Okay?
Oh, he wasn't focused.
I had to work.
Right.
I had to work. And it was a Street Fighter 2 Dash machine, which means it has different properties, but I was rusty.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
Who nailed it and who failed it?
On Checkpoint XP Radio.
And now it's time for Nailed It and Failed It. This week's Failed It goes out to the FGC, or the fighting game community. Not any game in particular, just the whole community. In a report from VentureBeat, multiple pros lamented the lack of investment and payouts in the scene. Evo, the FGC's greatest tournament, at times can sound like this.
JDCR!
Oh, he gets it! One more hit can do it!
Oh my
the block.
God!
Eris, I can't believe what I'm seeing.
But some walk away with as little as $70, which will not cover the cost of even getting to Evo for most people. Do you know someone who nailed it? What about failed it? Make your submission over at our website, CheckpointXP.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
All right, we've got to talk about a big story that we've been tracking here with, for what feels like years on Checkpoint XP. Riot is now paying out lawsuit money for a big lawsuit, a big discrimination lawsuit that they had experienced earlier in the year. To help us talk about this subject, we're going to bring in Oh my God, he's back again.
Twice in one show.
Producer Joe joins us one more time. He is our resident Riot Games and League of Legends expert. And you have been tracking the story really closely since it broke earlier last year. And this is to get some resolution here and to actually have Riot kind of coming out the other side looking like the good guy is pretty shocking.
Yeah, I mean, looking like the good guy is a pretty subjective term. I mean, for those who don't know, this story started about 18 months ago when a huge Kotaku expose happened, basically revealing that Riot was kind of deep in a bro culture and, you know, discrimination against women.
Yeah.
All kinds of things you really don't want to have happening at your company.
There was a lot of really bad conduct that was going on at the company. There were people, and this is from the top down.
From the highest levels of the company.
Exactly. Yeah. And we heard reports of people that were, you know, had their personal space violated. Mm-hmm. We heard reports of people who, you know, and just kind of bro-y, frat,
glass ceiling problems, everything.
It gets really, really bad
exactly.
when you read some of the reports. And on top of that, the reason why this was brought forth is because initially, as Joe alluded to, the glass ceiling stuff, where the biggest and probably the most heinous of it all is the fact that women at Riot felt like they were being left behind. They're being passed up for promotions. Mm. And thus, in addition to all of the other vile conduct, this was brought forth to a judge in California.
And in the interim, there were all kinds of demonstrations. I remember a walkout that happened at one point.
There was everything. Yeah, there was a walkout. There was the company promising to do better, bringing in other...
A consultant.
That's to help
right.
fix
I
the
forgot
culture.
About this.
There was the whole, we're not going to discuss things that are in arbitration right now. There was the forced arbitration, forcing your employees to come to the table and basically bargain about this. There was a lot, and none of it looked real good, and it kind of all just seemed to go under the radar for a little bit after, I don't know, for the last 6-8 months until finally, Norris, it finally resolved itself in a huge class action payout.
Yeah, the class action payout that Riot is eventually going to have to disperse equals up to about $10 million.
Yep.
Female employees from Riot between November 2014 and essentially last month aren't going to be entitled between $500 and $5,000 in a restitution payment.
And this is a great step in the right direction. And I mean, I said, you know, Riot kind of come out on the other side looking like the good guy. And if you have an understanding of the way that courts work
right.
and the way that the legal system works, this is not exactly their ideal outcome for the situation from the company's perspective. But it does seem like they are reaping the benefits of the good PR that is coming out of this.
I mean, they are, but at the same time, there's still a lot of speculation as to what has changed fundamentally within the culture of Riot.
That was absolutely going to be my next question, is has the fundamental problem, has what brought these people to come forward in the first place, has that been rectified?
From what we know that there have been, you know, trainings, there have been classes, you know, since
because that always accomplishes so much.
But unfortunately, some of the alleged I don't want to say abusers, but harassers still work at the company, according to reports, and very little from a foundational point of view has changed in terms of personnel. And so I think this not only speaks to a greater issue in Riot, but also in gaming and in tech spaces where women continually feel ostracized and honestly unsafe in their workplaces.
Yeah. One thing that we are seeing is Riot has ended the forced arbitration practice, which was one of the big things that the walkouts were staged over. It wasn't necessarily what had happened so far. It was the forced arbitration. Mm-hmm. Riot has ended that practice for all things going forward, which is nice.
I actually wanted to read a quick statement from another article from Kotaku by Cecilia De Anastasio. Said she talked to a current employee that said it's difficult to heal and move on when we are faced with the reality that at the end of the day, Riot prefers to pay the women still here for the trouble of continuing to work with alleged abusers.
And that's a fair point. I mean, I think that's a fair point. At the end of the day, like, yes, it's a good thing that, you know, the legal system came into action and started working. But when you actually have some kind of knowledge of the kind of money that Riot ends up pulling in on a monthly basis, $10 million is not going to end up impacting their bottom line.
It's a drop in the bucket. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where if the courts had not gotten involved, because you have seen any substantive change being made. And I'm not necessarily convinced of that. I'm not convinced that that would have happened.
If you're out there worrying, oh God, where's Riot going to find $10 million? First of all, you're a scumbag. Second of all, they just got paid $113 million for the exclusive streaming rights in China for the World Championships for the next few years. Yeah, they're not worried about $10 million.
Nope. Yeah, you can just take a little bit of that and just, you know, kind of apply it over here. But I know, listen, both Norris and Joe, both of you are huge fans of Riot. I know both of you play League of Legends on a very regular basis. Does this make you feel any different about Riot than you did before?
No.
I don't worship any game developer as much as like that culture we come out of it, because they all have their hands dirty somewhere. I buy your game if I like your product, and that's kind of where it stops for me.
Does this start to bridge the gap that started to form when all of this news started to break?
No.
No?
Not
doesn't
for me.
Even
I mean, I'm happy to
not
see
not even
that-
a little bit.
No, because to me, this is the courts doing what the courts are supposed to do. Evidence were presented. It was presented. It was strong. And they made a settlement.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you on this. Do you think that Riot has done enough to start to mend the wounds in the inside of their company? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. The Witcher is headed to Netflix, and we'll check out the top 25 characters of the decade. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP. Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at checkpointxp.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard.
Checkpoint Reed.
The Witcher series is due out this month on Netflix, and man, I am so excited for this. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as WCBT 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. For all the latest in college esports, make sure you check out Checkpoint XP on campus. Our own Norris Howard hosts alongside Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya from the University of Las Vegas. They bring you all the biggest stories in collegiate esports from a perspective of the students who live and breathe it. Check it out over at our website, checkpointxp.com, or look for Checkpoint XP on campus wherever you get your podcasts. The Witcher series is due out on Netflix on December 20th, my birthday.
Oh, lucky you.
I know. There's a lot that's coming out. You've got Star Wars. You've got The Witcher. There's going to be so much to watch around that time. But listen, people are saying that this could be the first great video game adaptation.
Whoa, Nate. Nate, how dare you? Don't you put disrespect on The Witcher like this? This was a book long before it was a video game.
Nobody cares about the stupid book.
Source material, Norris.
The only thing people care about is the video games. It's the video games that people care about.
All right, I guess we got to take this to Dork Court.
What you're about to hear was recorded in front of a live studio audience.
They got a problem. Dork Court. They argue about it, both gaming and esports.
All right, it's Dork Court. This is where we take an issue that maybe two of our hosts have been battling about, and we've got to be able to sort it out on air. I am the Honorable Judge Nate Bender. I will be presiding over this case, and over in the plaintiff corner, we've got Robbie, who will be arguing for
the truth,
the fact that the Witcher series is based off of the books, and in the defense corner, we've got Norris, who's going to be saying that the Witcher series is more based off of the video games. We're going to go ahead and start with Robbie to make your opening remarks.
So the first thing this comes down to is honoring the source material. There hasn't even been just one Witcher book. There have been 8 Witcher books out since 1992. So you have to take that into consideration. On top of that, you also have to look at the fact that the showrunners have said that they're basing these off of the books, not off of the game, because Andrzej Bzbzba, the author said that he wasn't happy with the way that the game portrayed his source material.
Okay, all right. Very interesting opening remarks. Now, Norris, rebut.
All right, listen. Nobody cares about that, right? Because the main thing that people are going to associate this show with is the game. Have you read the books? No, I didn't think so. Nobody in here has read a Witcher book. No one listening has read a Witcher book. No one's read these books. I don't even think they've been translated to English. So the thing is everybody's going to be talking about this show in relation to the game. And thus, it is a game-based adaptation.
All right, 10 seconds for closing remarks, and you can choose to rebut if you want. Robbie.
All right, fine. No one here's read the book. I haven't played the game. Nate, have you played the game?
I have not.
Norris, have you played the game?
No.
Oh, doesn't look like anybody's playing the game either.
But I can guarantee you that more people have played the games than have read the books. And therefore, it is a video game adaptation. Nobody cares about the books.
Okay, there you go. There are closing remarks here for Dork Court. Now, as the presiding judge, I get to make my ruling. And unfortunately, Robbie, I'm going to have to side with Norris.
I told you!
I think more people are familiar with The Witcher because of the games. And when they see that title on their Netflix, they're going to click on it because of the games and not because of the novels.
It's going to be better than Mario Brothers that you love so much.
Don't
Robbie.
You slander Mario Brothers like that.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
All right, time to switch gears now from Dork Court, and we've actually got this interesting article, an interesting list from Polygon, and then this actually didn't occur to me until earlier today, that we are coming up on the end of a pretty big milestone, the end of a decade.
Oh, yeah.
So, from Polygon, we've got the top 25 characters of the decade, video game characters of the decade. Now, we've asked Weird Beard to administrate this list to us. None of us have seen this list.
Nope.
So, Weird Beard, you want to take this away?
Yeah. First, I want to toss out a couple of possibly controversial ones.
Uh-oh.
And see if you have any opinions on those listed here. Batman and the Joker from the Arkham series.
Oh, no. Okay.
Totally deserve it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that they should go on a list of the top 25 characters from a video game of the
decade.
They
totally should.
They they were already characters in comic.
But
no,
it doesn't matter.
I don't think Arkham Asylum adaptations are great.
No, actually, you know what? I think I got to side with Robbie on this one.
There are
one.
Much more characters deserving of this.
Yeah, because you're right. There is a lineage with Batman and the Joker. Mm-hmm. Those two have been duking it out, whether it be on TV, in the pages of comic books, or in movies for the better part of 40 years. So I don't think that it's exactly fair that they get a spot on this list.
Another one is Isabel, a character from the game Animal Crossing.
No one would care about Isabel if she wasn't a playable character in Smash. That's it. I'm sorry.
It's true.
I hate to say that. It might be an unpopular opinion, but no one cared about that character before she appeared in Smash.
If Tom Nook was on this list, that'd be okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Tom
so
Nook
this isn't just because of the game. Then.
Correct.
No.
Correct.
That's
Tom
fair.
Nook is way more
that.
Recognizable. And for the record, I would have enjoyed beating the crap out of Tom Nook way more than I enjoy beating the crap out of Isabella.
And somehow, a game that was released, I think, less than 2 months ago, The Goose from Untitled Goose Game.
No, it deserves it.
The Goose's meme game alone changed the face of the internet.
Yes. The Goose belongs there, flat out.
Sorry.
The Goose is the GOAT.
Sorry, you're going to get a rejection
the
from
goose
me.
Is the GOAT.
You're going to get a rejection from me. I don't think it came in under the deadline enough.
There better not be a Death Stranding character on that list,
it's
then.
It's within the decade. What cutoff are we talking? The cutoff is January 1, 2020. That's the cutoff.
To be fair, I wouldn't include a Death Stranding character in there among top 25 characters of the decade, Norris?
No,
come
on. Absolutely not.
So it seems like there's a lot of contention. Would you like to guess on any of the others that you think should be on the list instead?
Is there Ellie from The Last of Us?
I agree with this.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with this.
Correct.
Yes.
Nice. Good one.
Yes.
Is there a GTA 5 character on there?
There is.
Oh, okay. Which one? There's three. You have three to pick from. I would say Trevor.
I would also say Trevor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it Trevor?
It is Trevor.
Of course it's Trevor. Who else would it be?
Out. Who's the top five? Give us the top five.
GLaDOS from the Portal series.
Okay. I can accept this. Yes.
Handsome Jack. From Borderlands 2.
One of the best villains in all of video games, hands down, absolutely yes.
Doesn't move the needle for me.
Kratos from God of War.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
Not only.
Only because, in my opinion, the most recent game.
Not only has he been shown to be very effective at killing gods, which he's done for innumerable
and
amounts of games.
Questionable at parenting.
And not good. No, he's a parent, but that gives him an additional element of intrigue to him.
And the last one that you haven't discussed yet, Elizabeth and Booker from BioShock.
Ooh. That's tough.
That's
top 25? I don't know.
All right, listen, we want to hear from you. What game character do you think deserves to be on this list? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. But ahead next on Checkpoint XP, we're going to check in with our social media followers. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
This is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The major esports leagues are currently on break, but they'll be back in early 2020. Call of Duty League is set to debut on January 24th, while the Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. December will play host to the Capcom Cup, bringing the world's best Street Fighter players together. That event will run from December 13th through the 15th in Los Angeles. December 13th through the 15th will also play host to the DreamHack Open in Sevilla, welcoming CSGO players from around the world. Wrapping up the esports year will be Epicenter 2019 in Moscow. That'll be running from December 17th through the 22nd. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with DreamHack League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th. And Battle Royales are actually on an extended holiday break. They'll be returning to action with DreamHack Anaheim. That starts in mid-February. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at CheckpointXP.com.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.